Coming up on today's show,
there was a lot of families that were just kind of looking for friends, teammates, and fellowship. So I had this idea through prayer that to create this organization, what I called Soccer Friends.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or catholicsportsradio.com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up on the website for the free e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. And then social media for this show is as follows: Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. Below my picture, near the top of the homepage of catholicsportsradio.net, there is a white button that says Join Our Facebook Group. Tap or click on that to get taken there. I so enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. This week's message is going to be a bit different from what you are used to hearing me share during this segment each week. I suppose that you can argue that in a roundabout way, this does have to do with winning and losing, but I'm afraid that that is not meant in the scoreboard or championship sense. Instead, there is a very present-day example of the battle waged with Satan. I will keep this anonymous, but someone that I have sent a couple requests to asking for an interview for this show, with no response, by the way, recently posted on social media about why they have taken a break from posting Catholic content. It is also worth mentioning that this is someone who just came into the Catholic Church. This person said it feels like a form of cancel culture. Even though the post went on to have a humble approach and tone, the simple fact is that the moment we find what we feel is a justification to not talk about our faith, the evil one wins. Make no mistake, no matter how big or small it might seem, that is an opponent that we are challenged by even more frequently than Major League Baseball teams take the field for a long season of 162 games. Let us pray to the patron saint of athletes, Saint Sebastian, for the strength and the courage to proudly speak of our faith regularly and not withdraw from doing such. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest created Bengals Soccer Camp for Boys 9 years ago after having been hired at Bloomfield High School in New Jersey as head soccer coach for their girls program 1 year earlier. 3 years ago, he created his own organization called Soccer Friends, which is a soccer team that focuses on quality development but also focuses on creating and maintaining good friendships. Back in his days as a student athlete, he had played soccer first at St. Benedict's Prep and then at the Division III level for Drew University, later returning to serve as an assistant coach. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, John Aliaga.
Hi, nice to have you on, Bruce. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Let's get started by having you share with us first where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
Sure. I was born in Lima, Peru, migrated here when I was 3, and my parents moved to Kearney, New Jersey, soccer town, USA. I have 2 brothers. I'm the middle child. I have an older brother and a younger brother.
Is it really called soccer town, USA?
It is. It is. Absolutely.
Wow. Wow. Okay. first question, and we already learned something new other than where John is from, audience, and his family size. John, tell us about the presence of the Catholic faith in the household when you were a young boy, including any Catholic education you received.
Absolutely. I think one of the most important things my family really focused on with our faith is, as busy as we were with soccer and baseball and martial arts and other things that we did, we always found time to go to Mass. There was 7 a.m. Mass on a Sunday morning or the local parish at 6 p.m. on a Saturday. We even went to our neighboring town that had a Polish Mass on a Saturday afternoon to just make sure that we were attending Mass and fulfilling our duty. But my parents always focused on our church and our faith and attending CCD and making sure we were receiving a formation.
And I did kind of tip my hand with the intro. So St. Benedict's Prep, that was I'm going to take a guess and say K through 8 Catholic school.
So St. Benedict's Prep is, they do have an elementary school, but it's from 7th grade to 12th. When I was there, it was an all-boys school, actually run by Benedictine monks in the late 1800s it started. So it's school's got a huge history. I'm dealing with, it's in the heart of Newark, New Jersey, which when it first started, it was a very affluent community. And then as there was a bit of a shift in the demographics now, you have a great diversity student body. But it was an amazing place. I loved it, and it just drove home like those Catholic virtues that we were taught as a young kid.
Now, a minute ago, you mentioned baseball, and I think you said martial arts. Coming into this, I had thought to myself, well, it sounds like sports-wise, John, as a youth, was only playing soccer. So is that correct, or were there other sports that you played? Never mind your brothers. You're the one I'm interviewing, so I'm curious as to if you were always only into soccer or if you picked up others.
I did pick up a couple of other sports. I think my parents saw that I was a very rambunctious kid, and I needed a lot of activity. And I needed, like, the discipline. I needed the ability to focus and the ability to have concentration. So my parents signed me up to do as much as I could. And so, I dabbled with baseball, played Little League. I did martial arts until I was like 14. I had a black belt in Subakdo, which was a Korean defensive style. But my main focus was soccer. I think once I got to high school and I saw that I loved it and, you know, it was passed down to me by my father who played professionally, I kind of focused on that in high school. And St. Benedict's is a powerhouse, a national powerhouse even to today. And then I played in college as well.
Okay, now some members of the audience are yelling at their listening device right now. Did he just say a throwaway line, he played professionally? Tell the audience more about your dad's being so accomplished as a soccer player.
Yeah, I mean, my dad was, he turned pro at the age of 16. My dad's one of 10 children in his household, and he was the second to youngest one. You know, he had great older brothers and sisters that helped him out, but financially my parents struggled. But he excelled athletically. He's a good basketball player, but soccer was where he's excelled. And he made his first contract at the age of 16 and then played all and around in Peru, made some youth national team appearances and also had some national team caps as well. And he had a pretty prominent career. Unfortunately, was cut short a little bit right before the 1982 World Cup and kind of had to reconsider what he wanted to do with the rest of his life. But he passed that love for soccer down to me and my brothers, and, you know, we're passing that down to our children as well.
But did he pass the love of soccer down to you and your brothers, or was it you will play soccer?
No, my dad's really laid back. As serious as he was playing, because he did play in his older age and he would drag us around a little bit, he was really laid back. And he said, listen, this is for you. You're going to love it. Did he give me a lot of feedback? Yes, but it was never overbearing. It was never like as a good father, he respected our free will. Mm. Right. And he respected our ability to say, hey, listen, like, I'm going to give you this opportunity. If you love it, pursue it, do the best you can. If not, then, you know, go do something else, be great at it. But it was something that he passed down to us. It's just like this nurturing, loving father that he was.
As a good father, he respected our free will, audience. That's the part that I hung on to. And this comes up every so often where I'll take a moment away from an interview to highlight the fact that I ask questions such as what I just posed to John, your father passed down the love for it, or he said, you will play soccer, because these relationships are so important. Those formative years, if a young boy or a young girl is going out on the field, on the court, on the ice, whatever it is, because their parents are forcing them to be there, there's going to be no joy in their sport, and there's going to be no joy in the relationship that they should have with their mom or their dad or with both of them. So really good that John's father took the approach that you just heard him describe. John, is it a foregone conclusion that at St. Benedict's Prep there was a clear mix of faith and sports, what with it being a Catholic institution, or were they separate, meaning the soccer program was solely built around the sport and the team themselves, and anything to do with the Catholic faith was kept solely to the classroom?
It was a mix. It was a beautiful combination. And I played under legendary coach, Rick Jacobs, and he did a great job of mending that brotherhood and instilling in that into the team. But also you saw it throughout the school. I mean, St. Benedict's is an amazing place where, like I said, brotherhood is most important. And it's instilled the moment you walk into the building, when you are ninth graders do a freshman overnight where they stay at the school for 4 nights and 5 days and really learn the history of the school and learn to bond and take care of each other. One of its most famous phrases, whatever hurts my brother hurts me. And to this day, a lot of my best friends that I have, best men at my wedding, I made those friendships at St. Benedict's Prep.
Mm. Wow. Now, Drew University, on the other hand, is actually affiliated with the Methodist faith. Did that hinder you at all from staying committed to and growing in your Catholic faith while you studied and played soccer there? And for that matter, what was your outlook on soccer when you were playing there as it relates to priorities in your life?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think my roots were so deep in the Catholic faith that once I hit 18 or 19 year old, I never really felt like that urge to drift away. Now, in college, as a young adult living by yourself, obviously there's a lot of the temptations to be disorganized and manage your things on your own. Mom's not there knocking on your door saying, hey, get up, it's time to go to class. But I think my Catholic roots, my parents instilled those roots so well that it really kept me focused and responsible in playing college soccer, but also maintaining good grades.
Now, were you realistic about soccer at that point? Were you thinking I could make a career as a coach, or were you all in with soccer and thinking, let's see if I can become a pro like dad was too?
I think I was realistic. I think I kind of knew playing Division III soccer that I wasn't going to be able to hit the level of my father. But even though I was there, we had a great team. We won several conference tournaments. We made the national tournament every year, and we were actually finalists my senior year in 2003. But I knew that if I was going to do that, I was going to give it 100%. But I always had this calling in my heart. I love working with children. I love teaching the game, and that passion started to flourish in those years when I was in college. And I said, hey, maybe I can make a career out of this or even do it on the side because I'm passionate about it.
Wow. And I think I heard you say in there, and again, another mistake that I made in my preparation for this, I thought, well, he obviously wasn't a dorm student. It was obviously a commuter situation. So you were living on campus at Drew.
Yes, I was living on campus at Drew. Even though it was only about 40 minutes away, 30 minutes away, my parents felt it was best that I can just really focus on my academics and playing soccer. And so dorming was my best option.
Interesting. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I need your help with something. I love, by the way, that soccer friends, as you heard me say in the intro, focuses on creating and maintaining good friendships. That sure sounds like an emphasis on fellowship to me. John is going to tell us more about that, as well as a missionary group out of South America that he and his wife have become increasingly involved with. But first, thinking back to John having talked about St. Benedict's Prep and all that he benefited from there, Alliance Catholic Credit Union is a proud sponsor of Catholic Sports Radio. And when you become a member of Alliance Catholic Credit Union, you are helping to support Catholic education. Through Alliance Catholic Foundation, they provide over $50,000 in scholarships every year to families, Catholic high school students, and young people pursuing a college degree. By becoming a friend of the foundation, you help support this work and are eligible to take advantage of all the benefits offered by Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at alliancecatholic.com. Alliance Catholic Credit Union, a financial home for Catholics where banking feels like a blessing. Federally insured by NCUA. Do be sure to tell them, by the way, that you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Okay, so I said I need your help with something. This episode is releasing on June 29. If you are not listening to it that day or the next day, that means we are now into 31 days during which we might hear the expression Christmas in July. I get it. I realize that no one wants to be reminded of that hectic time of year when it is the middle of summer, but time flies, does it not? I am going to go out on a limb and start talking already now about something in December that I would love your help with. Last year, and I think the year before, I talked on this show about a retreat in Southern California in early December that I was invited to. Obviously did not go either time. I have come to realize that I was bringing it up far too late on this show, meaning since this is neither my full nor my part-time job, which means that I don't get any income for doing this, I humbly admit that the financial implications of such a trip across the country for that are too much for me to try to take on out of my own pocket. The organizer, the person who invited me, has asked me to maintain a degree of confidentiality to this retreat because it is an exclusive, by invitation only, setup. So it's not something that is being publicized due to the nature of who some of the attendees will be. That said, as uncomfortable as I initially was with this idea, I have been assured that it would not be inappropriate, despite being in a retreat setting, to record some interviews for Catholic Sports Radio with, again, some rather high-profile attendees. Even though we are just starting into July, I am asking you now to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to my ministry to help me raise the funds that I would need to get to Southern California in December for this year's retreat. Maybe you even attach a note saying December retreat in California. You can do so via the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That method is fast, it is easy, and it is secure. It will allow you to use your credit card, debit card, or even PayPal, and you type in whatever amount you want. There is no drop-down list of amounts to choose from. Alternatively, and this is probably attractive to those who do not like putting credit card information on the internet, you can write to me through the website, through social media, or by emailing me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net for information on sending me a check through the mail. And then, as you have heard me do when guests or listeners have made a gift to Catholic Sports Radio, with your permission, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, or as some have asked me to do, you can direct me to keep it anonymous. I am grateful for your prayerful consideration to include this ministry as part of your tithing as I continue working to bring us all closer to Jesus through the mix of faith and sports. John, 10 years ago, you got the best of both worlds. In the lead up to today, you told me that, quote, written in my heart was love for teaching and coaching, end quote. You were hired at Bloomfield High School in New Jersey as a social studies teacher and head soccer coach for the girls program. I'm going to be surprised if you tell us that that was not the culmination of prayers asking for those types of roles.
It was. And, you know, it's always good to reflect back on our lives, to see like how God has been so vital in our lives, right? How he's really written out everything, right? He's the author of life. But my wife actually had been working in Bloomfield for about 15 years or so. We lived in Kearney. We're about to have our first child. His name is Mateo Lucas. And we were looking for a home. And through someone that we knew, there was a house in Bloomfield about 5 blocks away from where my wife was working. And we're like, wow, that's so convenient. That's so nice. So closed on the house. It was beautiful. About 6 weeks later, our son was born, our first child. And a few months later, he was born in March. In about June, a friend that I had known through Drew University reached out to me and said, hey, listen, I'm the vice principal at Bloomfield High School. We need a girls soccer coach, a varsity head coach, and we also need a social studies teacher that's bilingual. And it was like such a perfect calling because I was working, I was teaching down at Red Bank, New Jersey, which is about an hour away down the shore. And it was a perfect fit. And I was like, wow, Lord, thank you. I'm so thankful for this opportunity.
So this was, it sounds like, in large part because of your wife. In other words, you had not applied there.
No, I hadn't applied there, but I did know the vice principal, Tom Acton, through soccer from Drew University. Just some connections that we knew, and it worked out perfectly.
Beautiful, beautiful. What prompted you to start the Bengals soccer camp in the boys program 1 year later? What was on your heart that you weren't content just sticking with being head coach for the girls?
I got to know the head coach from the boys program, Michael Aiello, who's a dear friend of mine now. And we realized that like soccer and any sport is such a tool and it's such an instrument to help boys and girls really develop, build character, learn through adversity. And we decided to create a soccer camp. And we do like different clinics throughout the school year. We try to keep the price very low and very affordable to make sure that all children in the community have access to it. And it's been great. And we've had throughout the summers, throughout the spring breaks, throughout the winters, we've had many clinics. And it's been fantastic. We try to keep it very engaging, very fun, but all at the same time, make sure that we're providing the right instruction and the kids are learning.
Tell us about Soccer Friends, which I have mentioned a couple times that you created 3 years ago.
Yeah, so as my kids, my oldest started navigating through the club soccer world, and it was new to me. I realized that it was a lot of club teams, and I don't want to knock on anyone, but it's like a turnstile that a lot of kids were leaving and going and finding different clubs because they weren't happy. But I did see that there was a lot of families that were just kind of looking for friends, teammates, and fellowship. So I had this idea through prayer that to create this organization, what I called Soccer Friends. And it's essentially what it is, right? It's soccer with your friends. And it's great because now as the program has, like we've been doing it for a few years now, we'll go to tournaments and games. And even though these boys are not playing in the same club team, they'll see each other and they'll go up to each other and they'll hug each other. They give each other a high five. So we're building on that fellowship, right? That regardless of where you may go, you have some friends. And what we do is we get together in the off seasons and we play in tournaments. We'll do some training. We're actually going down to the beach next weekend to play in a tournament down at Wildwood, New Jersey. And so it's all these like lovely things that we do that really keep the kids connected and build the love for the sport and love for each other.
Did I miss it? Did you say what the age range is that Soccer Friends serves?
It's youth soccer. So essentially, my oldest is 10. So that's the oldest team that we have right now, and it'll build. And my youngest is 6, so we'll build it. And as they get older, we'll see where it goes. I don't know what God has in store for it, but we're just trying to keep it very organic and grassroots at the moment.
And it's for boys and girls?
Boys and girls, yes, correct.
There is not a spiritual component to it, am I right?
Not yet, but there are a lot of Catholic boys and girls in the program. And again, I'm trying to pray and discern to see what we can do. For example, last year when we went to one of the tournaments, we went to Mass with one of the other families. So we're trying to figure out a way how we can integrate the faith into that.
Yeah, as you were saying that, that's exactly what I was thinking of, is because of the friend component, all of a sudden there might be two boys that hit it off and say, can Matthew come to church with us on Sunday? You know, or all of a sudden you find out that it turns out we go to the same parish.
Right. Yeah, that's happened. Yep. We'll run into one of our friends at 6 o'clock Mass on a Sunday because we've been busy with soccer all weekend. We haven't been able to go to church. So we'll see them there, like, as you know, which is lovely.
Okay, well, we can't do this interview and not talk about the big event that's happening throughout North America right now. This episode is being released in the heart of the FIFA World Cup, which started on June 11. It ends on July 19. I'm sure, John, you're following it closely. Tell us how glued you are to the games.
Oh, it's been fantastic. It's been great to see it live and to see it happen. But what I like to see it is through my children's eyes, right? To see how closely they're following it. They're doing the sticker books where they're peeling out the stickers and opening the packs to see what players they have. They're learning the geography, right? Some of these countries they would never have heard of from before. So for them to see and really acquire the knowledge, what I want them to see is just like the underdogs in the tournament, how well these underdogs are performing against these big powerhouses and how important it is to have faith to go out there and compete against, you know, this David and Goliath story. And so as it unfolds, I kind of want to see through their eyes and because, you know, I'm sure there's times where they think, oh man, this team is, you know, they have no shot, but those miracles occur and they happen. And it's beautiful to see that play out.
All right. I'm going to ask you to show me some grace. Is Peru competing in the World Cup? And if so, is that who you're rooting for? And if they're not, who are you rooting for?
Unfortunately, they're not. They didn't make it. They didn't qualify. This time around, I think we are a big Cristiano Ronaldo household. We love the fact that he's Catholic and he attends mass frequently or weekly, as you stated. My sister-in-law is also Portuguese, so we're kind of rooting for Ronaldo to finally win a World Cup.
Okay. Well, let's close not only by having you share with us about your wife and how long the two of you have been in the sacrament of holy matrimony, as well as the family that the two of you have made, but tell us also about the missionary group that you and your wife have become increasingly involved with for over the last 12 years now.
Yeah, absolutely. So my wife and I actually have known each other since we were seven.
Whoa.
Yeah, like my grandma was neighbors with her aunt or something like that in Peru. And then my family migrated here first, and then her family came later. So we kind of were acquainted. The first time she came to this country, they actually stopped by my apartment first. And so we like kind of knew each other, but then we lived in different parts of town and I went to St. Benedict's and she attended public school. So we didn't really know of each other until we kind of met each other in our early 20s. And then, you know, things hit it off from there and it's a beautiful story. So we got married on October 10th, 2010, so 10-10-10. And my wife would make sure that I would never forget our anniversary date. Okay? So we got married on 10-10-10. And it's 6 years later, we had our oldest son, Mateo. And we just around that time, we were blessed with being involved with a missionary group called Lazos Amor Mariano out of Colombia in South America. It's also known as Bonds of Mary and Love because it also is in English as well. But this movement has been very transformative for our lives. And really the goal of the movement is the conversion of souls, right? So they use the consecration process from St. Louis de Montfort from France. Mm. And his 9-month process is the consecration to Jesus through Mary. And it's a beautiful course that you take. And there's a conversion retreat. But every Friday night, we also have prayer groups where we do the rosary. We do a saint talk, and then we do a talk on a gospel. So a missionary will be in charge of each three components. And it's beautiful, too, because now we're starting to see how it's flourishing through the families. Now my children are also participating in prayer group and learning about saints and diving deeper in their formation as well. And it's great because to know that we're there to serve, to help souls and to pray for the souls in purgatory or whatever intentions that the Pope asks for. It's been such a grace to see it, not just in my family, but also my younger brother's family and seeing my nieces at prayer group. It's something that I could have never really imagined. I mean, my dad was a deacon for about 10 years, but God's love is, there's no words for it. Like his mercy is just, I'm speechless on what I've seen so far.
Amen.
Yeah.
So even though this is founded in Colombia, you talked about Friday nights. So I imagine it's something through your parish. Is this something that listeners in Minnesota, in California, in New Mexico, in Florida can probably find a participation group for?
Yeah. So there's throughout the United States, there's been different localities that've been popping up. Most are in Spanish, but there's some localities that do a English prayer group. But this mission is in about 15 different countries throughout the world. But religiously, every locality does the prayer group on a Friday night.
I see. I see.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And the ages of your three children are?
Mateo Lucas is 10. Milana Grace is 8. And then Maximilian Jonah, he's 6.
Wonderful. Wonderful. John, really great to have you on the show. God bless you and your family. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
My pleasure. Thank you. God bless.
Audience, I invoked in the name of Saint Benedict in my ministry moment, but I want to kind of come full circle on that message that I presented during the ministry moment. And as our closing prayer this week, let's close with the Saint Michael the Archangel prayer and do that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.